Blog Talk Radio.
This is Jill Larson on Stardish Radio. Tune in and stay tuned. You never know who will drop by.
Hi, this is Michael Knight, Ted Martin from All My Children. If you're listening to Stardish, you're in the right place at the right time.
Hi, this is Katie McClain, and I'm on Stardish Radio.
Hey, hey, everybody. Welcome back to Stardish Radio. Today is January 13th, 2009. I'm your host, Joanne. My number here is 347-945-5423. Thank you for listening to Stardish Radio on the Blog Talk Network. I'm going to bring Brandon on the line. Hey, Brandon.
Hello, ma'am. How are you?
Just dandy, just dandy. We also have Tony. Hi, Tony.
Hey, Joanne. Hey, Brandon.
Hey, Tony.
How's everybody doing?
Doing all right.
Okay, very good, very good. So this will be my last show for the week. Unless something comes up. So just make sure you keep watching the website and the other sites just in case some things change on the calendar. But in the meantime, I would like to say that make sure everybody tunes in to Brandon's show tomorrow night, his debut show on Brandon's Buzz, 11 p.m. Eastern Time, with the fabulous Robert Krimmer as his first inaugural guest. How about that?
So
make sure everybody.
So exciting.
It is. I can't wait. I'm so proud of you, Brandon. I swear, just swear. You're just like my own little baby. So I'm very excited about that. I wouldn't miss it for nothing.
I'm
right.
Counting the minutes. I'm very much looking forward to it.
Oh, so am I. Oh, it's going to be great. Okay, so tonight's guest, she's got to be one of the most stunning women in daytime. She's just beautiful. It didn't matter a bit that she was the fourth actress in 10 years to play the part. From the moment she stepped on the screen, she was One Life to Live's Cassie Callison, Dorian Lord's mostly level-headed daughter, and roughly the only person in Landview who wasn't afraid to stand up to her overbearing mother. 8 years and a trio of high-profile and enormously popular romances with the town's most popular men, Cassie left town to find herself, and her portrayer slipped quietly away from the view in order to raise a family, and I can't be mad at her for that. But a full decade after bidding daytime television farewell, she's made a triumphant return as an unexpected wrinkle in All My Children's Jesse and Angie love story, and we fans are quickly remembering what it was that made us all fall so madly in love with her the first time around. Please, everyone, give a warm Stardish Radio welcome to the radiant and gorgeous Miss Laura Bonarigo.
Oh, Joanne, thank you.
Hi.
For the introduction.
Well, you know what, Laura, I have to say, I'm just a reader. Brandon is actually the author, so thank you to Brandon. He's my intro writer.
Your muse.
He is. So say thank you to Brandon.
Thank you, Brandon. Thank you so much.
Hi, Laura, how are you?
I'm well, thank you. Just fine.
So well deserved, my darling, so well deserved. So you are a sight for sore eyes back on television. You've been missed.
Thank you. That's so good to hear. You know, when one leaves the limelight, you kind of think everybody just forgets about you.
No, forgetting about you is just such a hard task. There's no way that could ever happen.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you made such a name for yourself on One Life to Live as Cassie, and it can only what's the word I'm looking for? All My Children just don't know what they're in for. I mean, you got something over there going on, and fans are digging it, they're loving it, and there's no way anybody could ever forget you. People are just going to keep writing and wanting more. That's about it.
Okay, that's it. I've just become your number one fan. I'm just going to call in every single day And every single day, as my kids just give me a hard time, I'm going to say, excuse me, I have to call Joanne for a minute.
And you know what? You can call into my show anytime. No invitation needed, my darling.
Okay.
No invitation needed. Whenever you want to dish, come on. That's all. Anytime. So how are you liking it on All My Children? Tell me. Tell me how they swooned you into coming out of motherhood, full-time motherhood, I should say.
Well, you know, the funny thing is that I have actually been acting for over a year before All My Children called me. I was wooed back into the business by a director and a playwright whose play I had read while on One Life to Live many years ago, maybe at this time now, maybe 8 or 9 years ago. So I guess sometime right around One Life to Live, she knew my work. She'd seen me in a play. And it was an off-Broadway play that ran Midtown here in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
Rehearsals began in August of last year, and it ran through the end of January. So All My Children was hardly on my radar, except
mm-hmm.
that I got to work with two very talented actors from that company, Matthew Coles and Mark Lemura, if you remember those people.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sure. Mark Lemura was on All My Children for years and years. He was
years,
Erica's
years, right. So he,
right, Erica's brother.
Right. So Mark played my co-star. So that's how I kind of kept in touch with All My Children. I didn't think much more than that.
Mm-hmm.
I was auditioning and interviewing and being seen by casting agents. And there were phone calls made to all the network soaps here in New York that I was working again. And the casting agent, Judy Wilson, at All My Children, didn't want to bring me in just for a 1 or 2 day role. She wanted to bring me in for something that had a little bit more longevity, and I really
mm-hmm.
appreciated that because, as we know, once you're on a soap once, it's kind of hard to come back as somebody else, you know.
Right.
So I didn't want to come in for just something that was going to be a couple of days. And then this role came up, and I was certainly happy to go over and meet Judy and to read with her and to have her see me. In all fairness, when I left One Life to Live, I was 10 months pregnant. So when Judy saw me... with, you know, she was like, oh my goodness, you look so good. And I was like, thanks. I'm not pregnant. So, and then we went from there. We auditioned. They put together a couple of auditions for me. Like, you know, I had to show them I could still do it. And I think once they saw me on tape, it was... they were pretty persuaded, of course, and I got to meet with Julie Crothers, and she told me the story that she was crafting with Charles Pratt, and it sounded very interesting, and I had been familiar with Debbie, of course, and unfortunately, I had never met Darnell, and I wasn't familiar with his work, but we quickly got through all that, and it was great to work with them. They were just terrific, terrific.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you love Darnell, though?
Yes. Oh, they're all so nice. It's a great company. And, you know, I knew a lot of the older actors because we would be at appearances or Christmas parties or, you know, Michael Knight had worked on One Life to Live. I had worked with Michael. Walt Willie and I had done performance appearances together. Ricky Paul Golden did my first screen test with me in New York City.
Oh, wow.
Of course, I knew Susan from appearances mostly, but I also knew her a couple of run-ins personally that we had met. Let's see, who else? Jill Larson I had met, certainly. And then the crew. I knew 12 members of the crew. I had worked with them at One Life to Live.
Uh-huh.
And all of the cameramen at All My Children were men I had worked in front of.
Oh, okay.
So, and I knew some of the directors from other gigs. So it was great. It was kind of like riding a bicycle in a different town, you know?
right, exactly, right.
So it was great. They're a great bunch of people over there. They really are.
Now, there's a back last August, I went down to the All My Children studios to kind of just hand out business cards to other actors that I've been trying to get to come on the show that I've been a little unsuccessful trying to find information on them, you know, via email or whatever. And so, you know, you stand out there. I'm sure you see the fans standing out in the steps and stuff like that. There's a security guard that came outside. His name was Will Smith.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just the most sweetest guy. And if he is still a security guard in that building, this is only last August. I mean, I'm sure you've probably come across him. He's been there forever and a day. And he is just the sweetest security guard. You make sure you tell him Joanne from Starter said hi.
Okay,
he
I'll
is just
sure
a doll. You have to.
Week, so I'll be sure to tell them. Give him
yes.
a message for you.
So now the storyline. You really didn't know too much about Jesse and Angie's history, right?
Yeah, I didn't. I honestly didn't know anything about their history.
Mm-hmm.
I had to be filled in, and then I quickly learned how important they are to the show and excuse me to the fans.
Mm-hmm.
And when one works with them, you can see the chemistry
yeah.
between them. They're lovely. They're just lovely mm-hmm. to watch.
You know what, I would think it would make it easier, though, to not know anything, to come in blind, because that way you're not intimidated by the enormous history and the enormous past that they share together.
It's always best when you're faced with those facts not to know anything, I think.
Right.
Paul Roche asked me when I first joined One Life to Live if I wanted to see footage of Holly Gagné, and I said, no thanks. He said, no, you have to watch because she is. You have to see what energy Cassie has and what enthusiasm for life. And I was like, okay, I'll watch her, but I don't know that I can play Holly Gagné, you know, doing this role. So it was, but you're right, it's so much easier not to know everything.
Yeah, you got to make it your own. You don't want to be imitating everybody else.
Right.
You know, you have to definitely make it your own. And, you know, so now you're on here as an original character, Rebecca, and who is going through a miraculous recovery of some sort of brain cancer. And, you know, love the soap thing. That's just great with the brain cancer. And you went through chemotherapy, and then the next day you're out there in a casino. It's hysterical. I was dying. I was laughing because I said, you know, I said, I being somebody that went through chemotherapy, because I did, I said, there's no way she'd be out in a casino.
Yeah.
So are they crazy? But, you know, so how do you like what they're giving you?
You know, it's fun. It's great fun. The storyline is, they're not developing it because it's a recurring character. Perhaps,
mm-hmm.
you know, you might be able to answer this better than I do. I have always felt soaps develop storyline very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to me, certainly with Rebecca, being recurring, that everything is developing extremely fast. That may or may not be true for the company as a whole. I'm not sure. I'm asking you that question. So perhaps this is a little bit fast in how they're developing it. You're right. Would we, in reality, be at a casino after chemotherapy? No, probably not. That's right. Probably not for a couple weeks afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
If then, you know, and then it's another round of chemo. So,
mm-hmm.
Is it a little outrageous? Sure. Is it a lot of fun? Definitely. It's a lot of fun. It was really fun to get dressed up and play a casino scene.
And truthfully, that's what's important, that you have fun with it. And, yeah, I mean, of course, you know, we all have to understand and realize that it's definitely not based on a real-life thing. And, yeah, it's soap. You know, kids are born, and then 2 weeks later they're driving cars. It's a whole other land, you know. But I mean, I can totally appreciate that. But I do think that Rebecca is coming along very well, and I think there's a lot of stuff for Rebecca in Pine Valley other than Jesse. You know, I mean, there's a lot of men there, and, you know, I think it would be fun to see her mix and mingle with some of the other residents of Landview outside of Jesse and Angie. I mean, that brought her in, but let's keep her there and mix her up in the town.
Well, I think you are in a position to help persuade that. That would be great. And there's so many great actors on the show, and they're really nice people. And I certainly wouldn't be opposed to working with anybody they wanted to put me with. That would be great fun.
Well, we had a little weekly wrap-up session last week. I try and do one like every Friday of a week in soaps or whatever. And a lot of the fans said that they would like to see you with Tad, a nice, stable man.
You know, I believe Michael Knight expressed that too. And I said, oh, Michael, you have a lot more clout on the show than I do. You go talk to them.
That's right. We tell Mikey. He's been on quite a few times. So, yeah, tell him, let's make that happen. I definitely like to see you do some scenes with him and possibly a romance. Who knows?
Who knows?
So, now, man. Are you ready to take some phone calls, Dawn? Because we have some fans waiting to talk to you.
Sure, I'll be happy to. Thank you.
Oh, stop saying Michael Knight needs a haircut in the chat room. He's beautiful the way he is. They're saying only if he gets a haircut. Leave him alone. My Michael. Don't bother my Michael. Okay, we have Tony on line one. Tony, say hi to Laura.
Hi, Laura. It's good to talk to you again. Remember, we talked on In the Zone last week.
Yes, I remember. Hi, Tony. Nice to speak with you again.
It's nice to talk to you as well. I mentioned back in the day, when I mentioned last week when you had a chance to work with Robin Strasser on the One Line Clip, but there's also other people you worked on the show, because I went back on your website and looked at old clips.
Sure.
When you worked with Susan Haskell, young Susan Haskell. I think she started on the show at the time, right?
I'm not sure about starting, but yes, I certainly worked with Susan quite a bit. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw one there, yeah. And I saw the wedding there that you had with Cassie had with Andrew, and you work with Robert Krimmer, which ironically will be Brandon's guest tomorrow night on his first show.
That would be terrific. What fun for everyone.
Yeah, so I know you had a great time doing that. Well, what was the Cassie and Andrew angle was like when you did it?
I loved working with Bob Krimmer. He's a really terrific actor and a really sweet man, very smart and very sensitive. So we enjoyed each other's company a lot. And when we first got together, it was a big risk. He and I went to Linda Gottlieb. It was the first time we ever really were able to persuade a producer or writers. We wanted to work together. We felt the characters would be good together. And they took us up on the offer. It's not to say that we came up with the idea originally. They might have certainly thought of it. But we expressed an interest and said we wanted to work together. And then as we worked together, what I found developing was a real strong trust between the two of us. And so they could write those stories about the baby dying or finding William and losing William. And then, of course, when the marriage falls apart, in a way that Bob and I trusted each other. There were days on set when I would do things and not tell him. I wouldn't tell him what I was going to do. There were scenes when Cassie went crazy, and one in particular, I can't remember where we shot it, where maybe you remember where it was actually filmed, like what the set was. But I remember saying to Bob, you know, when I break down here, I'm going to do some things. And he said, just do it. Don't worry. And I spit in his face. And he just let me do it.
And wow.
There was no stopping of the camera. There was, and we just let it roll. And I didn't tell anyone what I was going to do. But I had sort of plotted out some ideas and some options and went with it. And to me, that takes incredible trust. Incredible trust. And the same thing happened when they wrote the scenes between Kevin and Andrew and Kathy. Again, they wrote stuff, and we trusted each other to go there, and we did it. And it was pretty painful. It was real. You know, I worked with Bob for 5 years, so it was really as if a relationship was coming to an end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, that's part. I think that was a part of the storyline when Cassie was breaking down because she had her baby. So I think her baby was stolen.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you, Tony.
Thank you, Tony.
No problem.
Hang on. So, Laura, when you took off and you went to go raise your kids and stuff, you started a company.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about the company, because I find that extremely interesting.
Yeah, you know, this is my my soapbox, Joanne. You do realize if I start talking about this, we might wrap up.
Well, this is coming from a mom. I'm a mom, so I want to know about what you did, because I read a little bit about it, and I have a child who is one of the most peculiar eaters
mm-hmm.
on the face of the planet, and like literally I want to smash my head sometimes because I can't get this kid to eat anything that is actually, I mean, I can't say not good for him because he does eat some things that are good, but he won't change anything.
Mm-hmm.
If it looks different, smells different, it tastes different automatically, and he'll throw it away. He'll make himself vomit before he'll taste anything new.
Oh, that's intense. That's a lot of
He's crazy, this kid. He's 8 years old. He's crazy.
Yeah,
he's crazy. He's crazy. He refuses to try anything new. So I'm curious to hear about your program. Tell me about it.
Well, the thing is, if someone like yourself came up to me and said, Laura, I want to hire you and come in and, you know, help me with my child, I may or may not be able to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
There are some children that are willing to play, experiment,
mm-hmm.
and try new foods with a stranger because I'm not their mother. So
right
there, the fight is eliminated because there's no power between us.
Right.
And there are some kids that do really well in that situation. Good, mom's not here. This lady's going to play with me, and I do play with them. And then there are other children that I worked with, some kids who they were just really and truly didn't work between us, and I would refer them to professionals, other professionals, real professionals,
mm-hmm.
because I never sold myself as more than a mother who
mm-hmm.
knows a lot about food because that's my passion. But the thing I would do in such cases, I would come meet your child. At 8 years old, the independence is really strong. It's about getting them interested in taking care of their own bodies. We eventually, all of us, have to take responsibility for the food that we consume.
Right.
And when a mother says to me, the child doesn't eat anything but yada, 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 I will say, who's doing grocery shopping? Because
mm-hmm.
we're the ones who bring it into the home.
Right.
If you have a 14-year-old who has their own allowance, no, that's not the case. That's a whole different
mm-hmm.
conversation. But
right.
I'm assuming at 8 years old or 4 years old or 2 years old, the parent who's the primary caregiver on the food front is usually
right.
the mother, and she's usually one who's doing grocery shopping. So I sit down and have a big chat with the mom.
Mm-hmm.
Because if the kid is eating donuts, who's buying it for them? You know? So
right.
it's a real reality check between me and the parents. How important is it to you that this – is the child developing properly? Are they having academic problems? Are they having social delays? Are there eyesight issues or, you know, is something going on physically or mentally that might be being compromised because of what they're eating? Or is the child taking a multivitamin and growing? The doctor's not concerned and you're not concerned. Because right there is the bottom line. And it's really, really easy if a doctor says to you, your child is sick, and therefore you have to change what you're feeding them. And then that parent will do anything it takes.
Mm-hmm.
And the child can have 150 temper tantrums and not eat for a week, but they're going to change what the child's eating.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have a child who's doing great and the family doesn't want to make a lot of waves and you don't want to have temper tantrums and you're going to give in, then there's not a whole heck of a lot a parent can do to affect what a kid is eating. They can throw food out on the table. They can prepare it different ways and say, you take – what I always say is you do the two-bite rule. You have the yuck bite and you have the swallow bite.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to try it. Like, that's the new family rule. And every single one of those demands, if you will
mm-hmm. –
a child will confront it. No. The first thing out of their mouth is going to be a no.
Right.
So I would come in after this kind of heart-to-heart like I just had with you, in a way,
mm-hmm.
abbreviated, of course, and I would then start playing with the child, especially if they're young. We would make shapes out of food. We would make smoothies together, maybe make cookies together. I'm hiding a bunch of stuff that's really healthy. I would tell stories. I would get them in the kitchen with me. I'd get their hands sticky. I'd make them make a smoothie. You know, I'd show them how to split up a banana. How do you make pictures? How do you make, you know, just play with them.
Right.
And the other thing is that if a child's not hungry, don't feed them.
Right.
Absolutely don't feed them, because when they do become really hungry, even if it's the entire day, that slice of apple and that piece of broccoli, they're going to taste really, really good to a hungry palate, to a hungry tongue.
Right.
That food is going to taste like apple pie.
Mm-hmm.
But if the child's not hungry and they've been eating salt and sugar for the last 48 hours, and you go to feed them a piece of broccoli or an apple slice, it's going to taste awful, because their palate, their tongue is already saturated with all of those flavors. So an apple isn't going to be able to compete. And if they're not hungry, that doesn't taste good at all. I mean, you do an experiment on yourself. Go 5 or 6 hours or 7 hours or a whole entire day without eating, and then take a bite into an apple. It will never have tasted so good.
Oh, absolutely. I completely agree with you. And you know what, too, I have to say, it's very strange, because when Tyler was a baby, he used to eat everything. And I'll tell you, and I, you know what, I'm just going to bring one person on the phone with me that has to chime in on this conversation,
because
my best friend in the world, Linda, we were both pregnant at the same time and our children are the same age. Linda.
Hi, Linda.
Hi. Hi, girl.
You hearing this?
I'm hearing it, and I'm, like, agreeing with every word.
Okay. So
it's so true.
Our children are they're both the same age, and they're 8 years old, and when they were babies, they ate everything under the sun. They ate every vegetable, everything that you could possibly imagine. Although I do have to say, Lynn, Matthew definitely has a broader appetite than Tyler does, but what changed for me as far as Tyler's feeding habits was when I got sick and I wasn't really around to make sure he ate what he was supposed to eat. He was being passed off from family member to family member, and he was only two. So he was being appeased at every level he could. You know, if Tyler cried, he got a McNugget. If Tyler did this, he got, you know, a fruit roll-up or whatever. So it really didn't make a difference. And then by the time I came back into the picture, fully, you know, cleared and ready to take care of my children, it was like I only eat SpaghettiOs and meatballs and chicken McNuggets.
Right.
So I was like, what?
Yeah, good. Well, there you have it. That's exactly what happened. And
yeah.
You know, some of the things I'll say to mothers is just don't fight. Take away the fight. Put it down. This is what we're having for dinner. Eat it or don't eat it.
Mm-hmm,
right.
When a child is hungry, they're going to eat what you want them to eat. And they're not in charge. You know.
That's right.
If he's saying to you, I'm only going to eat SpaghettiOs, and you go buy it, who's in charge?
Right.
But, you know, all that being said, it takes a lot of strength and a lot of support to deal with the 48 hours, 72 hours, week, 1 week, maybe 2 weeks, month of the child resisting you. You have to really be willing. And so what I like to do is I would coach, I would stand there and say to the mother, you have permission to be strong. And you know what? This is your child and you're the parent. And you know what to feed your child. Every one of us knows. We've all read the newspapers. We've all read magazines. We've all read books. We know what to eat. We know what to eat ourselves. And we know what to feed our children. And so I kind of just sort of said, look, I'm giving you permission. You don't have to do it this way. You can do it the way you know you should do it. But when that child is having a breakdown, you need to call Linda and say, okay, I'm ready to give in. She's going to say, no, you're not. No, you're not.
No, exactly.
You're not
yeah.
going to McDonald's. And then when her son starts to break down, you're going to say, she's going to call you and say, Joanne? You're going to say, no, we're going to feed these kids well. And there are fantastic resources on the Internet. There's laptop lunches is one of my favorites. The Feingold Association is fantastic for getting your kids off of preservatives and colorings, additives. Any child with a learning disability or learning delay, should definitely look into feingold.org. It's a fantastic program. There are women. Dr. Antonia Dimas is teaching education, food. Food is, what did she call it? Food is, I want to say this correctly, elementary, I think. She does this great program where they teach kids in schools because, you know, we're not teaching home ec in a lot of schools. She goes into the schools. She teaches somebody like myself, goes in there and teaches the kids about food and how it grows and what different recipes to try and different cultures from which these recipes come from. It's a very comprehensive program. I think it's terrific. And I think that, you know, all of that, all of these resources on the Internet, there's so many. I have some links on my website.
LauraBonarigo.com. I love it.
Yes, there you have it. And I have links there because I think these things are really, really important.
Yeah. Well, we will definitely look at your website to get that information. Laura,
oh,
I wanted
absolutely.
To thank you so much for coming on and touching base with all of us. You know, you do have so many fans, and I know I'm just, like, so happy to kind of see you back on the landscape and, you know, giving us something to look forward to when we get home from work.
So sweet. You are delightful, and I thank you as well.
Keep up the great work. Joanne, thank you so much for
right,
bringing
girlfriend.
Her into our homes tonight. Thank you.
All right, honey,
Joanne, I'm gonna listen in, okay?
Okay, I'm gonna put you on hold.
Okay.
Love you.
All right, have a good night. Bye bye.
Hold on. Linda and I live literally right down the street from each other in Florida, and I moved back to New York, so we haven't seen each other since November, and our kids haven't seen each other since July. So this is like the perfect connection for us. But yeah, so I'm so glad we got to talk about this. I mean, I hope you don't mind me bringing that up because. Although I love the soap stuff, people in the chat room, I know, but this stuff is like, you know, this is mom stuff. I don't get to talk to a lot of people about this stuff.
Yeah, it's one of those, there are so many people who say, oh, I can't think about it, I don't want to know. And
yeah.
Then there are people who really, really need to know. They want to know and they need the support and, you know.
That's right. And it's called Feed Your Mouth. It's a great little title, too. I love it. Love it, love it. Okay, let's take another fan. Area code 219, you're on the phone with Laura.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, Laura. This is Eva.
Hi, Eva.
Hi. I used to be in your fan club.
You wrote on my website, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
So.
Yeah, I was the one who, wrote in your website. I'm always writing on your website.
Thanks, Eva.
No problem. I'm so nervous. I'm just, you know, as you can tell probably.
Oh, don't be nervous. Just talk to me.
Okay. Well, I've been your fan since Cassie lost her baby.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering, what did you think of that episode? I mean, that storyline. Like, I mean, was it hard to, like, act out those scenes?
Yes. It was,
I bet.
It was very difficult to act out those scenes. Yes. I had, I remember I was working all the time, which is always great when you have a front storyline. It's really fun to work that much.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also incredibly exhausting. And I went and took some acting classes just to, like, relax, to get back into, you know, like, okay, try to forget the storyline for a few hours and go home at night and, you know, be a real person. Or I needed to see a lot of friends and just sort of relax because it was so heavy. It really was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I watched your One Life to Live clips.
Mm-hmm.
On your website, and
mm-hmm.
by the way, your website is very beautiful.
Thank you.
You know, it's really awesome.
I'm so pleased. The man who did it for me, a man named Michael Ormond,
mm-hmm.
and my friend Robert at Deco Design here in New York, they just did a great job. Michael's vision and Robert's execution, and I really had very little to do with it initially. I was very hesitant to do it. I know, Joanne, but I was.
I was going to bring that up too, but go ahead.
I have to say, it's it's kind of like your introduction. I kind of like that website now. It's like, it's not so bad. And it's funny because these clips, there are fans that have been collecting clips for a long time, and you will see so many new clips coming up on my website over the next, 12 to 18 months. There are people who are sending us things. It's amazing. I don't even remember half these shows. And then I'll see these clips, and I'll think, oh, my goodness, I remember it. You know, I haven't thought about them in forever. So it's great fun. You will see so many, many new things. And I know in the past week they've added a whole bunch of new clips. If you haven't been on the website, it's amazing.
Yeah, I've seen all my children clips. They've added them. I just wanted to thank you for answering my question, and I don't want to take any more of your time.
It's okay, Eva. It's okay. We don't know how many people are calling in. It's okay. Thank you so much for your support.
Oh, thank you, Eva.
Well, thank you guys so much, and keep on doing an awesome job on all my children.
Thank you, hon.
You're welcome.
See, there's a person in the chat room who's saying they, I just closed it. I've got a DVD set of the whole Kevin and Cassie storyline from another fan.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Amazing.
You need to get in touch with Michael on Cassie's, on Laura's website.
That's right.
Definitely. You need to get over there and talk to Michael.
That's right. If they just do get through the guest book, they can.
I'm putting it up there. Well, she has your she said she has your website saved in her favorite. So get in touch with Michael through the guest book and let him know what you got. Definitely, that would be. Oh, her name on the website is Curly Q Girl.
Okay, Curly Q Girl. We'll be
Curly Q Girl.
We'll be looking for you.
There you go. All right, we have another call here from Hawaii, area code 808. You're talking to Laura.
Hey, Laura.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
Good.
Good.
I'm like so your biggest fan on All My Children, Rebecca.
Oh, thank you so much. What's your name?
Anthony.
Anthony, nice to meet you, Anthony. Thanks for calling in.
I'm good.
Did you have a question, Anthony?
Yeah. Did you want to do the scene of Rebecca?
Yes, I did. I liked the idea of creating a new character, and I liked coming in as the other woman. I never got to play the other woman as Cassie, and so it's really fun to be the other woman. And it's really funny because, Anthony, some people don't like me. They don't like Rebecca, and they're really mad at Jesse that he has this other woman, and I think it's so much fun that they don't like me because as Cassie, I never got that. Everybody always felt sorry for Cassie because, you know.
Not even during the Kevin Cassie thing when you were cheating on your husband, you still didn't get.
Not really.
Wow.
Everybody loved Cassie. You couldn't be mad at her. You justified it somehow or another. It's like, all right, it's no big deal if she cheats on the minister. Big deal. She's going to hell, but we still love her. You know? I mean, you couldn't hate Cassie. You just couldn't.
No, you couldn't. And you have to admit, she had poured a lot of tea at that point. She had poured a lot of tea. We need to do something in that rectory. Otherwise, you know.
Oh, yeah. If things just weren't hellish enough, she had to go find her own hell. So she did her thing. So, and I have to say, Brandon knows, I'm like completely ADD. Even though I've watched these soaps like for most of my adult life and teenage life, I don't even remember another Cassie other than you. So when you said that other lady's name, I have no idea who you were talking about. So, yeah. All right. I just had to throw that in there. But, Anthony hung up.
Oh,
okay.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Well, you want to know something? His phone, he calls them quite often. And I think because he's so far away, it does go in and out. It might be a cell service or something. He'll probably call back.
Okay.
But in the meantime, we do have another caller. This is Rita. Rita, say hi to Laura.
Oh, thank you, Joanne. Hi,
you're
Laura.
Welcome.
Hi, Rita. Thank you for calling in.
Well, I'm a pretty big fan of Joanne.
Oh, good. Joanne, I got on the right show tonight.
I'm so happy to hear that.
I wanted to ask you if, but it already sounds like that it probably wasn't 100% acting, because you said you had to be filled in with Darnell and Angela Hubbard.
Mm-hmm.
What's her name? I'm not good with names.
Angie.
I was about ready to call you Rebecca.
That's okay. I'll answer. Don't worry.
Don't take it offense.
Wait, your name is Rachel? No.
My name is Rita. Oh, okay. I'll take that.
You're not the only wise guy in the room, Rita.
Well, it sounds like it probably wasn't 100% acting when you were trying to tell Jesse, no, you need to be with your, Dr. Angela Hubbard, and you were doing the good deed, you were the good Samaritan. But what I'd like to, do you know that you're in remission? Do you know that you're in remission yet? I mean, are we the first to know? Do you know this yet?
Oh, my goodness gracious. Of course you know, Rita. She filmed it.
Well, yeah, but we're being told that you're in remission after one chemotherapy, so, what do you think this is going to turn into?
Wait a minute. Can I interject something really quick on a real-life tip? Rita, honest to God, after my very first round of chemotherapy when I first got sick, my tumor shrunk almost 90%. So it is possible. You do have
really?
To follow through. Yeah. You do have to follow through with the rest of the treatments, but it is most certainly possible. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, well, thank you. That's kind of beautiful to know.
Okay, well, focus on Laura.
Okay, Laura, where do you think this is going to go? What is there anybody you would like to be working with?
Now, Rita, have you watched All My Children recently? Have you seen all those gorgeous men?
Oh my.
There's so
yes,
many.
I'm a regular. All My Children was the one that got me hooked on the soap.
Okay. Well, they are even more gorgeous in real life.
Mm-hmm.
So any single one of those men would be great fun to play with.
Are you going on the cruise?
No, they didn't invite me.
I think they planned the cruise before Laura came back to the show, because the cruise was actually planned, I believe, sometime last summer.
Mm. Well, I'm dying to share some wonderful news with all of you, and I hope you, Joanne, pass the word, and I hope you do, Laura.
Mm-hmm. What?
I've got some wonderful news about your cruise that I know from experience.
What is that?
Well, when it's a real big boat,
yeah.
The bigger the boat,
mm-hmm.
the less you have to worry about
falling off.
A lot of these new people that have never been on a cruise. I've been on a cruise ship for like going to, like playing bingo or something. I've never been on a cruise like this. But
okay.
When the boat is real, real big,
mm-hmm.
sometimes the motion sickness is alleviated a little bit. I have severe motion sickness. And
okay.
I might even have something more severe than motion sickness. And I have been on a big boat when the moving was mild, and I've actually gone for that hour or whatever without Dramamine. I wouldn't leave the Dramamine home if I were you, but just tell them the bigger the boat, it's not as bad as they're fearing it to be.
Sorry
you're not going on the cruise. I'm sorrier that I'm not going on it.
Well, there's next year, and I guarantee you Laura will be around next year, and she'll be on that cruise. So,
thank you, Joanne. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, hang on, Rita. Don't go nowhere. She's talking about Rock the Soap Cruise being hosted by Bob Guinea, sponsored by SoapNet. So if anybody doesn't know, you do still have time to book your cruise at rockthesoap.com. Bob Guinea would greatly appreciate it. As I would, and I'm actually going, so that's what she's talking about.
Great fun. good for you.
Oh, yeah, I can't wait. I haven't been on a cruise since I'm 17 years old. God, I'm 39 now. It'll be fun. And I'll be on a boat with Michael Knight. Hello. Of course I'm happy. Kidding me? My Mikey? I'm sorry. I'm babbling now. But, yeah. Rebecca is, what do you think about the chemistry between the sister-brother thing going on between Natalia and Frankie? He didn't really like her too much. Not that it was her fault.
No, he didn't like. We called him the scowler. We would
the
be
scowler?
On that. And every time we looked at him, he was scowling at us. Channing came up to sit there and say, "He's scowling at us again. I know he doesn't like us. No, he wants us to leave. I know, but we can't. We can't leave. We're stuck here." All those party scenes when he would be lurking in the corner looking at us, Shannon laughing at Cornelius, who, by the way, is one of the nicest guys. They're great fun to work with. They
and a terrific actor.
So nice. And
oh, he's
so
fabulous.
Nice. And they're both so stunning. Shannon is beautiful. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
And Cornelius and their love and Denise, they're all so, so nice. I'm really
fun. Oh, absolutely. They're all beautiful. I mean, I've never met Cornelius or Shannon, but Denise has been on the show and I've met her in person, and she is just really stunning.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in person, and she's just really one beautiful, beautiful girl.
Yeah.
But I just saw an episode with you on it on that cruise ship where you're dancing with where Rebecca's dancing with Jesse, and Cornelius has his little scowl going on, but it almost looks like, you know, something's happening, because the new previews that are coming up are pretty much Jesse telling Angie, "Look, we need to talk," and so it kind of makes you wonder what's going to happen there. But you know, I don't like spoilers, so even if you knew, I wouldn't want to know. I'm just letting everybody know that's what's happening right now. If you're not up to date, which I don't know why you wouldn't be, if you're listening to my show, you should be. And your next air dates are not until February 5th, I believe.
Yeah.
Somebody said in the chat room.
I'm gonna misspeak, so I don't want to misspeak.
Yeah, they're telling me they check a website. It says February 5th is your next air date.
I'm happy that website is working for everybody, because that's where the information is.
That's right. Now, do you have are you gonna establish a fan club, or do you have one already?
I don't have one currently, and I'm not opposed to the idea, because of course Michael's not opposed to the idea.
Right.
And so again, I think that if someone is interested in running it, that they should contact Michael through the guest book. Definitely.
Absolutely. Well, I'll put that out there too, definitely, because I think you should have one.
Yes, it's one of those things that is. You know, when I was doing the Off-Broadway show, it wouldn't even occur to us. But now, now it's like, oh, right, remember that? Remember? Fan clubs. And how do you work fan clubs with email? And how does this work these days? This is all
different. Oh, yeah. Everything is email.
Everything is different.
I mean, honestly, unless, like, we have a lot of listeners that do a lot of writing campaigns. Like for Eileen Kristen. I mean, you know Eileen Kristen. She's been on the show a few times, and she's very open and candid about the way she feels her airtime is being used on One Life to Live. So we would have people call in, and they would send in tons and tons of mail over to One Life to Live, and be like, okay, get Foxy Roxy back on the screen. Let's go. So that's the only time people really use snail mail.
Interesting. So people still use snail mail, though.
They do. Because, and you know what, I stress for them to use that form of mail rather than emails, because emails can be deleted so quickly, you know. And
yeah,
to me, the mail is a physical presence that can't be, you know, it's like if you really want something to happen, think about, you know, the mailman having to carry up those big sacks of mail like Santa Claus does, you know, the Santa Claus letters, and dropping them in Brian Franz's office. He can't step over that mail. He has to hop over to get out of his door. So, I mean, it's like right there in your face mail. You know, an email can come and he can just hit one button and it's out of sight, out of mind. But physical mail, when you're sending in something for something that you're really passionate about, you make him trip over it when he has to walk out of his office, and then he takes a notice.
Well, I'm all for it. And
yeah,
we all know in daytime that the fans really do, I will say that 95% of the time, the fans, power of the fans, they're the ones who are watching.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredibly powerful. It's incredibly powerful. So if you want Rebecca with Tad, then write those letters.
Absolutely. Get those snail mails going.
Yeah.
You know what you should do? You should have Michael create a postcard, you know, like a 4x6 postcard with the address of All My Children on it, so people can go on your website and download it, and they can print it themselves and mail it out. So then this way it'll get printed off of your website, and it just shows support. I mean, that's what a fan club essentially does most of the time.
Mm.
You know, I know a girl that runs a couple of the actors from, well, one a former actor from One Life to Live and one that's on there now that runs one of their fan clubs, and that's what she does. She makes up but she buys them. She buys tons and tons of postcards, and she sends them out to fans and have them mail them in. But it's easier if you get one created right online and say, okay, go to this website, print it up, and mail it in.
What a great idea. I never thought of that. That's a great idea.
Perfect. All right, let's go take this other caller. Area code 815. You're on the phone with Laura.
Hey, Laura, this is Jenna. What's up, Joanne?
Hey, Jenna.
I thought I'd call back.
Yes, you
thanks
did.
Thanks for picking up Rita, by the way.
Absolutely. Say hi to my lovely guest.
Hey, Laura, what's up?
Hi, Jenna. Thanks for calling in.
Well, thanks for being on the show. I understand you're a first time, your first time appearance on here. I hope you're enjoying it so far.
I am. Where are you calling from, Jenna?
About 50 miles away from Chicago, Illinois. So.
There we go. I hear that Midwestern accent.
Yeah. What I wanted to ask was, what is it like working with Darnell and Debbie?
Oh, they're lovely. They're so nice. And they're really, really good actors, so it makes my job so much easier. I just have to look at
that. I'm actually not that old to go as far back as when you played Cassie, but I've been looking up, I guess, like what you did as the character, and I do not really know all that much, but I know that you played Dorian Lord's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
That's very interesting, since Dorian's like the evil witch of One Life, but somehow you still can't not love her.
Oh, no. You have to love Dorian.
Yeah, you got to love Dorian.
So well.
Yeah. I actually go back farther with All My Children than I do with One Life, so it's
okay.
Cool. I'm only almost going to be 18 in about a month, so I'm not really all that old, but...
She wasn't even allowed to watch TV when I left the show. So.
No, probably not. I don't know. Well, I fell in love with soaps because my mom used to watch Days when I was little, and now she's not really into soap operas at all, and she's like looking at me like I'm crazy, like, why are you into this stuff? It's like, because you made me watch it when I was three. Why?
Exactly.
I just got into the whole camaraderie of being with the whole humongous cast, and then always having friends, and then knowing if you're having a yelling scene, but off camera you're like laughing your butt off. There's nothing like that.
Mhm.
I mean, I have experienced it, and I hope to one day. So it was very interesting.
Well, thank you, Jenna.
Yeah, thanks for picking me up, Joanne, and I hope you come back sometime some more, Laura.
Thank you, Jenna. Have a good night.
You too.
All right, we have time for one more caller, guys. I'm going to pick up this last phone call. Area code 757. Say hi to Laura.
Hi, Laura.
Hi,
Joanne.
Hi.
This is Tawanda.
Hey, how are you?
Pretty good. I just wanted to ask Laura if they don't pick you up on All My Children, well, I guess if they kill Rebecca, which I guess could still happen, would you consider going to One Life to Live or any other soap?
So remember that conversation we were just having a minute ago about snail mail?
Exactly. Snail mail is our friend.
That's right.
That's right.
You know, One Life to Live has known that I live in New York City. I see Robin Strasser regularly.
Mm-hmm.
I worked with Frank Valentini, who's now the executive producer, when Frank was an assistant stage manager before he became a director and then a producer. I've known him for many years. We've called over there. I've seen associate producers on the street. They know I live in New York. So that snail mail Joanne was talking about, right?
Mm-hmm.
That
bottom line it. We want her on All My Children. Let's leave it at that. So let's get that snail mail campaign going to over there.
Whatever you ladies can manipulate. It's lovely to be working. It's really great fun to be, and as I like to say, it's nice to be invited back to the party.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I feel very blessed and truly grateful to be back in the on national TV. It's nice to know that people missed me, and it's really nice to do something that's so familiar to me. Daytime is definitely familiar to me. I know how the material works and the medium, and it's great, great fun. So it's been a pleasure. And whatever's to be will be, and we'll see what happens.
Just keep checking out her website over there, laurabonarigo.com. I put a link on stardishradio.com. I put a link on the blog talk page, and I also put a link up in MySpace and on Facebook. So you keep checking in there, and maybe we'll see those postcards up in there real soon so we could send them over to All My Children and keep Rebecca where she belongs.
You're all very, very kind. Such a great,
we'll work
great
on it.
Hour. Thank you so much.
No problem. Have a good night, ladies.
Thank you.
Bye-bye, honey. Well, darling, I have to say that before I end this call, we only have 3 minutes left, I just have to say that you have one of the most beautiful, soft-spoken voices. I feel like I'm screaming. I'm a screamer, period. I talk loud. I'm from New York, but I really feel like I'm talking really, really loud.
Oh, Joanne, it's because my kids are sleeping upstairs.
Oh, okay.
So quiet.
Oh, okay. Well, mine are asleep on the other side of the house. I could be as loud as I want, so go ahead. Well, Dawn, I really appreciate you coming on. So I had so much fun with you.
Likewise.
You are, like, my new favorite.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Can I ask you if you would do a promo for me?
Okay.
This is, like, say, hi, this is Laura Bonarigo on Stardish Radio, or however you want to say it.
Okay. And
whenever you're ready.
And do I have to say anything else, or is that it?
No, you can say whatever you want, just like that. You know, it's pretty standard.
Okay. Hi, this is Laura Bonarigo, and I'm on Stardish Radio. Thanks for calling in.
That's beautiful. Perfect.
Okay.
And you know what? Let's get those snail mail letters going, people. Thank you to my lovely guest, and I hope to be talking to you soon. I want you back on as soon as something else develops for you. And welcome back to TV, honey.
Thanks so much.
Absolutely.
Enjoy.
You're welcome. Okay. Welcome.
Hello.
All right, guys. Make sure you check out the website for any calendar updates. As of right now, today's my last show. But don't miss Brandon's Buzz tomorrow night with Robert Krimmer on Brandon's Buzz tomorrow night on Blog Talk Radio, 11 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 p.m. Central Time. You'll find them on the blogtalkradio.com/Brandon's Buzz. Don't miss it. Talk to you all later. Bye.
Hi, this is Julia Barr on Stardish Radio.
Hi, this is Katie McClain, and I'm on Stardish Radio.
This is Jill Larson on Stardish Radio. Tune in and stay tuned. You never know who will drop by.
Hey, this is Sid.
This is Forbes Myers, and you're listening to Stardish Radio.
This is Brandon Buddy on Stardish Radio. Enjoy.
Hey, everybody. This is Kristen Alderson, and I am on Stardish Radio, the coolest radio station ever.
Hi, this
You presume I'm weak, you presume I'm frail, but your perceptions won't prevail. I'm made more than what you see.
Hi, this is Kimberly Locke, and you're listening to Stardish Radio.